welcome to Be Still, Be Free. I'm so excited that we are going to be joined by my wonderful friend, Jenny Kanan, today for our Everyday Woman interview. Jenny, are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
Hey, girl, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. For our listeners, we have been doing a series called Be Willing, and we have just gotten into some women in the Bible. And one of the new things that we started this year is an interview with an everyday woman. And I just thought of you going into this whole series. Jenny has been one of our most loyal listeners, right, Jenny?
You guys are the ones that started me on podcasts, and now I have a podcast obsession.
Yeah, Jenny, she was part of the early little meetings that we would have to kind of cast a vision of what it was going to look like and was it working. And she even gave us some input on the t-shirts that we had designed, and she always listens. And so from the bottom of my heart, and I know Monica and Amber feel the same way, thank you so much for being so dedicated to what we do.
I love you.
And you're just a huge encouragement to me too. And so I want to thank you for that. But I really am excited because when I was thinking about who in the world I was going to interview for the Everyday Woman, to be honest with you, at first you had not really come to mind. And then, just in light of conversations and some of the things that you've been going through, I thought, you know what? I think that Jenny would be the perfect person because it's just real life issues. You're a real life woman. You're a real life working woman, wife, and mom. And so I think a lot of people will be able to connect and relate with you as it goes with learning to be willing and learning to change and to morph into things that you had no idea that you were going to be willing to become. Let's get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself. First of all, tell us like a little bio about yourself.
Okay, absolutely. So I am 36. I live here in Atlanta. I have been married for 15 years to my husband, Jeremy, who I first had a crush on when I was 12. we started dating when I was 16 and have been married since then, you know, since and then we have two children, Olivia, who is 11, and Griffin, who is 7. And we actually this year got a dog, and I was never going to be a dog person. And now we all love the dog and take pictures with the dog, and her name is Maggie. So
she is a cute little dog. What kind of dog is she again?
She's an English bulldog, and she is the cutest, sweetest thing. And I thought I was going to hate her, and she won me over. So...
Well, and we need to give a big shout out. They are also huge War Eagle fans.
Yes. Yes. War Eagle. Go Auburn.
Yep. Yep. Her husband is a huge War Eagle fan. Okay. So listen, one of the things that I have always loved about you, so Jenny and I have a lot of similarities. We're both, if you know anything about personalities, we're both very strong choleric personalities. In fact, recently we were in a group where we were doing personality tests, and it was kind of
we're the only two.
Like I had four, like there was 36 questions, and only four questions did not fall under choleric. How many was, it was like 20 for you or something, right?
Yes. It was like 28 or something. Yes.
We're both very strong.
No other woman was that way, by the way.
No, no other one. If anybody knows anything about cholerics are, overachievers, very strong personalities, a little, you know, somewhat like type A's, they're leaders, they're good thinkers. And so Jenny and I have always been able to share that in common. But one of the other things that I really appreciate about Jenny is most of the time when you run into women who have our types of personalities, they can often be domineering. They can talk down to their husbands, controlling, you know, just, I am woman, hear me roar. And even though Jenny is extremely strong, she is also very fashioned in being able to have healthy relationships and have a healthy marriage. And so I want you to talk a little bit, Jenny, just talk about yourself a little bit, being a strong woman.
Yeah, yes. I am, I tend to be very driven, and it goes back a long way. Like, I always had very specific goals, and I wanted to have a career, and I wanted to achieve all the things. And, you know, that it makes me very passionate and assertive. And sometimes that feels, you know, it feels aggressive. And I think sometimes you try and temper that also, so that you don't come across that way, because people don't know how to take that. And I also have a lot of feelings and opinions about everything, and, you know, want to express them, but, you know, have had to learn how to do that in the right way so that it doesn't come across as trying to be too controlling or domineering to every relationship or to everyone else, that, you know, maybe I don't always have the right answer, even though I really would like to think that I do. So.
Oh, yes, girl. Oh, yes. I totally get it. Okay. So in describing your personality, now talk to me about how that plays into your relationship with God, how you're, you know, again, you're a mover and a shaker. And so you'd like to lead things. So tell me a little bit about, especially prior to probably about a year ago, how that all played together.
Yeah, I think that definitely has a lot to do with how you, you know, your personality can influence how you relate to God. And I think wanting to be in control, to have everything together, and also a lot of, like, you know, I believe that, you know, as long as you were doing the work, then good things happen. And as long as you're striving, then you win. And so, and that, you know, had been part of everything that I had done up until that point in my life, you know, in school and at work. And so my relationship with God, I've been a Christian for a long, long time, but it was more convenient and comfortable when that worked for me. And as long as it felt safe and easy, and not so, it really wasn't ever anything that, that was hard. And then it became hard.
Well, okay. So let's talk about this too, because, strong career woman, and your job has always been extremely important to you. You've got two kids. The only times that you didn't work were your maternity leave times. Is that correct?
Yes.
And how would you have rated the importance of a job in your life on a scale of 1 to 10?
I think, you know, it probably in time and effort, it was definitely, you know, up there around, you know, 8 and 9, unfortunately. You know, I wanted it to be, there's a lot of other things that I feel in my heart were important, but it was taking so much of my time and energy, to be successful in a very competitive, very, you know, secular culture career where everyone else is, you know, a lot of people are single. A lot of people, you know, don't have families. They don't have the same value system that I do. And so, their priorities are very different. So, I think that, you know, it does influence you if you're in that environment for a long time.
Absolutely. But you, even with the negativities that were going on, you were just so driven, to work that was, you were going to work around that, right? Like that,
yeah.
That's what you were going to do. You're not going to quit
yes.
working.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, about a year ago, Jenny found herself kind of in a wrong place, wrong time situation. That's what we're going to call it.
Yep.
We're not going to go into a lot of details because it's extremely personal, but, let's just put it out there. I told her, I said, don't worry. I will preface it to say she did not cheat on her husband. Her husband did not cheat on her. Her family and marriage life.
We love each other
good.
Very much.
That's right. Had nothing to do with anything like that. But it really did have to do with you just being wrong time, wrong place. You know, one person would say you had done nothing to, you know, wrong, and another person misinterpreted that. And,
yep.
And unfortunately the person who kind of misinterpreted, Jenny's intent on something had the authority to make things quite difficult for her. And so she went through it was a year-long process of having to deal with this situation, not really knowing how it was going to end and what was going to come, how it could have affected her her integrity and her reputation. And it was a complete, true, wrong space, wrong time, misinterpretation of the truth. And when you're a strong personality, how does that work for you, Jenny?
It is brutal. It was so hard because I had no control in the situation. I could not fix things, and I'm a fixer. Also, I want everything to be, you know, there's an answer, there's a solution, there's a process, there's a way. And I couldn't apply any of that, you know, to this. And I think it really shook me in my faith, because I felt like, you know, if I had been good and I had loved Jesus and I had been doing as many things as he wanted me to do and that I could find and that were available, then why would I be punished? And why would I be in a situation that didn't seem fair or right? I was a little angry about it too.
Yeah. And at God.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like that he was, you know, doing this to me. Honestly, I felt like he must not love me the same way he loved other people if this was going to happen.
Yeah. And I can vouch that early on, Jenny had confided in me and in another friend of ours over Mexican, of course, and yes. had just kind of filled us in on what was going on. And our friend Christy and I just sat there and cried with her and encouraged her and told her that God is for her. He is not against you, that his plans are to prosper you, and yada, yada. What was kind of your response to that?
At that point, I appreciated it so much. It was, I love you girls, and to have you speak so much truth and encouragement to me was, you know, it was definitely a blessing and a gift that I needed. But it was it took a little bit longer, honestly, for it to get from my head to my heart. There was some more work that, you know, that God had to do before I really even could believe that was true.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the real important things to note here, because when we go through trials and adversity, for the most part, you will have people who speak truth into you and try to affirm and exhortate you. Man, it's hard. It's so hard to let that truth resonate and go to your heart, because you're still kind of dealing with that anger and that shock, the frustration, the feeling, like you said, that God just must not love you as much as maybe he was loving other people, which we know are all lies. And retrospectively, you can look at that and see that. But when you're going through it, that's not necessarily how you feel. This is where I get into the be willing part with you. I'd like to know, how did you get to the part where you began to be willing to live palms up and give it to God and allow him to, take the situation and be okay with that? Like, just kind of describe some of that journey.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really think it, you know, it's, first of all, it's not fast. It's not an overnight thing. I think that, you know, that we have to be patient and understand that, you know, God's work takes some time on your heart. And, it was definitely just a really kind of a tearing down of myself and all of the things that I needed to control and be in charge of, and that I had to get to the point where I truly I questioned my faith. I questioned, you know, whether all the things I had ever believed were really true, because this meant that God was God was good even in bad things, and even in things that were, I was angry and mad about and that I didn't ever want to happen. But that meant that he still had to be in charge, and he had to have good intentions and purposes to come out of this, whether I knew what they were or ever saw them. And I had to be okay, even if things didn't work out the way I wanted them to, or they were ever okay, that I still had to know that God was working, and that he had ordained this, and that he makes good of it, even though I might not see it or understand it, that his ways are higher, and, you know, and that, you know, his kingdom is going to be built no matter what. And so it was really just kind of getting to that point where I think what you learn too is that the more desperate you are, the closer God is, which, you know, I had never really been desperate before. I had never been that needy. And I think when, you know, when it's hard and when there's pressure and when you're struggling, that's when, you know, you really find that Jesus is so close to you, and that you want him so much more, and that when things are easy and going your way, you tend to not really need him. And I think that, you know, it kind of reveals a lot about what's important when, you know, that's who you turn to. If you run to God, then, you know, it doesn't change. It may not change anything, but it changes how you feel, because you know that he's there with you.
That is so great. I think anybody listening to that is going to be able to apply and connect with that in some form or fashion at some point in our lives. And, you know, I think what you said was so good, that God will make good of what seems so bad to us. And I think that what was interesting to me is to see you go through the stages of anger and frustration and almost grief because you had no control of the situation, which is really hard for people like us, because we like to have a plan. We like to fix things. We like to be able to move on. We don't like things to drag out. And what really should have been a couple of months of getting this whole thing rectified and taken care of turned into 12 months, almost to the date. Right. And so it's interesting that God allowed you to go through something that should have been done in a couple of months over a 12 month period. And so do you remember a specific time when you began to see things differently, where you were kind of coming out of that anger, and you can remember kind of going from a palms down to a palms up transition?
Yeah. I think it was really when I started, you know, coming to Jesus consistently, like instead of it being in more, you know, in anger and frustration, I came and said, you know what, I'm giving it to you, and I'm not going to take it back, and I'm not going to be angry anymore, and I'm going to trust you. And I want you to teach me everything that I need to learn, so that, first of all, I don't ever have to do this again, and that I get the full, you know, knowledge and wisdom that you wanted me to gain out of this, and that you wanted to change me, and I need to be fully changed. And so that was really, I think, when I started. Nothing had changed in the situation at that point, but I started to change. And think differently and to feel differently, because I knew that no matter what, that, you know, this had changed me in a way that was going to be beneficial to, you know, my relationship with Jesus, which was more important even than situational, you know, problems.
I think you just said something that's so important. You said God wanted to change me, and I had to be willing to be fully changed. Because I think so many times in that whole be willing, right? We got to be willing. Mm-hmm. We have to be an active participant in that. And I think sometimes we want God to fix everything when we're going through problems and adversities, and just say, but you love me, so fix it. But you had to become willing to be part of the process. You had to be able to willingly look in the mirror and say, I need to be changed. And I was just telling Chris the other day, it's really quite amazing. I've always thought that you were a spectacular person, and I've always loved you, and I've always loved your personality. And We are iron to one another. And that is, it's so awesome.
Yes.
But there's a softness. There's a, I don't know, there's a thing about you now that you did not have prior to this whole experience a year ago.
Yeah, I think, it made me vulnerable in a lot of ways, which I never, ever wanted to be. To be honest, I thought that was weak, but I think it's also a lot of ways the only way that God can use you, because then you're not doing it, he is.
Well, you allowed the situation to make you better and not bitter.
Yeah.
And you trusted God that he did have a plan, that he doesn't make mistakes, that he ordains our steps, and that all things will work together for his good. And so in saying that, I think what I would love to hear from you now is, fast forward a year later, now tell me what your relationship with God looks like, and tell me where there's some other things in your life where you've become palms up and just become willing.
Yeah, it's, I think that my relationship with God is so much deeper and more real to me, because I've seen him, show up in the hard times, and, and I think he kind of tore me down to, to build me back up in some ways. I was reading, I wanted to share something that God gave me earlier this week. I was reading in Samuel about Hannah and how, she had sorrow and sacrifice that she went through. And I can relate to that so strongly now.
Yeah.
And, what I felt like God was speaking to me was that he honors sacrifice and sorrow, and that through that, he wants to provide blessings that sometimes look like loss. Yeah. He wants to provide power that sometimes feels like pain. And he wants to grow our faith in ways that we're afraid is going to look like failure. And that's kind of what he's teaching
that's
me right
awesome.
Now is that, I'm at a new place in my life in general. I'm going to take some time off from my job this summer, which is a really big deal for me because it's been such a big part of my identity and who I am for so long. But I feel like God's really been leading me that I needed to focus on my family and my kids for even if it's just a few months before I find something that might work a little bit better with our, where we are in life and our season, so that, I can spend more time with my children and with things that I'm really passionate about, which is, being involved in church and outreach and a lot of other things that, I want to have some more time for.
That's awesome. I love that.
Scary.
It is scary. And to our listeners, like when Jenny told me that she was going to be taking time off, like that was one of the biggest shocks to me ever, because if I was being honest, I never thought Jenny would ever put her career on hold for anything. Like she's good at it. She's strong. She's meant to be in the workforce. If you had ever told me that she was going to take time off, I would have been like, oh no, she's not. And so that it again is evidence to me of how much your heart has changed and how much more, authentic your life has become. Not based on the things that you do, but on the person that you are and what you're willing to sacrifice and what you're not, and your priorities of choosing to cheat one thing over another. And it's a beautiful story of how you were hurt, shocked, mortified at the situation. And it took a process of God bringing you to your knees to truly understand that even when things don't seem to be going the way that you want them to go, or even when God calls you into a season of such anguish, that mm-hmm. something beautiful can come out of that. And if you think about the women in the series that we've been talking about, we've talked about Mary and we've talked about Deborah and we've talked about Pharaoh's daughter, called
which I loved all of
things.
Them.
called into doing things. I mean, come on. We know you liked Mary the most. It's okay. You can give Sarah a shout out. I'm just kidding, Monica and Amber.
Oh, no. They were. I love you. I love you ladies all. Y'all do such a great job. I have loved this series. We'll just sidebar for one sec. I've loved this series on the women of the Bible. I just think it's so encouraging and it's so amazing to, like, I go home and talk about it to my husband and my daughter. And I'm like, did you know? And I just think it's so wonderful to, you know, really focus on some of those, you know, characters that don't get, you know, as much, you know, pulpit time or anything like that. But their stories are so important and so applicable to, you know, who we are today and how to live in that, in those same values and, you know, and be, you know, a strong woman of God. That's okay. And
I think that's what I've loved too in our doing our interviews with our everyday women is that we're talking about women of the Bible and then we're talking about women in our everyday lives. And those women are women that we could have been walking life with. You know, just, I would have loved to have been Mary's friend and have seen her have Jesus. I think that would have been really, really cool. But
that'd been amazing.
That's okay. I've got Jenny and that's all right. I'm good with that. So, but I just want to say thank you for being willing to come on and just share what you've gone through. Cause I know that your story is what so many people go through, but you know, we carry such shame on our shoulders as women. And there's no doubt in my mind that there are women who are going through a tough time who have such shame. And I know you did in the beginning, you didn't want to talk to Christy and I about it. And man, it just kind of came out. We kind of encouraged you to get it out. And so I would encourage women. I think you would too. If you're going through something, no matter how bad you think it is, go find a couple of people that you can talk to about that with and get it off your shoulders. And, you know, there are women out there who will want to carry that burden with you. And I just want to thank you for being vulnerable and sharing 30 minutes with us today to kind of encourage other women and use your story. Cause, man, let me tell you, Satan hates that you are doing good with what you went through. I'm just going to tell you that right now. So
thank you so much.
Yeah. I appreciate your loyalty to who we are. I appreciate just you being you, being my sister in Christ and your authenticity, and I love you dearly.
I feel the same way. Right back at you, Sarah.
All right, ladies, listeners, even gentlemen. I know we have some men listeners out there too. So thank you so much for joining us today. We will be back next week. Can't wait to wrap up this series with you. And then we'll be taking the summer off because we try to practice what we preach and we'll be trying to be still with our families in the busyness of the summer. And we know that you're looking forward to that too. So thanks so much and we'll see you next week.